both websites, Passover, Star Cities.
Yes, we've already began talking about it a few days already, both in the lesson, especially in the morning, and especially in the afternoon. And I recommend people listen to it again, because those same places where we need to build before we enter revelation of the Creator, that our entire state, our desire, it appears to us in a very unique manner, an afflicted manner, that we cannot, by our qualities, attain spirituality. And we have no hope. And as much as we try, we build something out of our qualities. We're incapable, and we always reveal more and more just how deeply sunk we are in our ego. And we have no chance, no hope of getting out of it. And this state is called Arei Miskenot, cities of affliction, cities of danger. Danger that we will remain in them and never exit to spirituality. And also in this, that they themselves, they have nothing. It's not that we enjoy something from them, but really, cities of affliction. We need to go through the state to locate it, to feel it, to understand that it's our nature, and when we overcome it, on these states, on this state, on this malchut, then we are privileged with revelation, exiting from the exile to revelation. To redemption. Then those same vessels that appeared empty, that they have nothing, specifically in them we begin to reveal the Creator that is thus revealed to us. Alright, so let's read. Let's continue. Ask, let's scrutinize. We have nowhere to run with these things. They need to be clear for us, both in heart and in mind, in sensation and mind, and only. And then only that way we can exit from them.
Excerpt 89, Baal Sulam writes, this is the meaning of, and they built Arei Miskenot, meaning that it was for Israel.
Seeds of affliction, meaning they were for Israel, for who is directed, Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator. There could be two meanings here. I want to reach the Creator, maybe to reveal Him, to grasp Him, that's called to reach the Creator. Or that I want to be Yashar Kel, according to, get closer to Him according to equivalence of form. That then I am called Israel, Yashar Kel.
In other words, all their work during the exile was taken into Pharaoh's custody.
Meaning all was swallowed again and again in our ego, and even that we do some correct works, correct actions, in connection between us, in study, in gathering, in all sorts of things. But all these things, as much as we did, maybe months, even years, all this, as if, where did it go? Unknown. Later we learn that it's a great sea of the Sitra Acha, the other side, that swallows everything, and then later on that the palate swallowed and it should be thrown up, that as our will to receive swallows everything, and afterwards from all this that accumulates all inside, it comes, it's all in use in one shot in order that we be able to do it on attention to bestow.
And Israel remained poor, for miskena means poor.
Because they didn't feel from day to day that something was added in them.
We should also interpret miskenot from the word sakana, danger, meaning that they were in great danger of remaining in that state for the rest of their lives. However, to Pharaoh, the work of Israel was Pitom and Ramses, meaning very beautiful cities.
There's two matters here, yes? In one state, for those who were yearning for the Creator, then they don't feel these qualities, these thoughts, these desires. They don't feel that they're advancing towards the goal. And those that are called the slaves of Pharaoh, then the truth is, they feel that they have something. They understand more, they feel more, they're receiving something more. But also, not so much you could say that they're so happy and satisfied. Although, as it's written, Pitom and Ramses, they were for the workers of Pharaoh, that they were very nice cities.
Thus the meaning of, and they built Arei Miskenot to Israel.
Meaning for those who yearn to reach the Creator, meaning those same qualities in us, that are yearn to reach adhesion with the Creator, then this state is afflicted, meaning it has, that there's no benefit from it, not vessels of bestowal, revelation of the Creator, adhesion.
And Pharaoh, Pitom and Ramses.
Meaning really that beautiful, good, understanding, awareness, mood, and so on. Meaning it depends what state a person is in.
This is because all the work of Israel fell into the klipot, and they saw no blessing in their work. But when they prevailed in their work, in faith and bestowal,
meaning that they were in the aspect of Israel, Yishar Kel,
they did see fertility. In the moment they fell into knowing and receiving, they fell into the hands of the klipa of Pharaoh.
And
finally they came to a determined resolution that the work must be in faith above reason and in bestowal.
Hello, Rav. Hello, Rav. My question is regarding these old cities, Ramson and Ramses.
Ramses,
You know, we get so used to, you know, our daily activities, and we get used to the wheelchair seat is comfortable, and you know, this is what I have. This is so good. This is everything. But in regards to every day should be awakened as new day, how does these two opposites, how should we discern between these two opposites, Rav?
That's according to your intention and what do you want. If you want to reach adhesion in the Creator, then in this you reveal day by day that you are farther from Him, from the Creator, from getting closer to Him, from adhering to Him. If you are yearning for states that will be clearer, more understood, then it could be that you take from the wisdom of Kabbalah, and in this become wiser, know how to speak, philosophize, and so on. It all depends on a person. What are the qualities with which he goes out to reveal reality? It depends on man's desire. Belarus.
Доброе утро. Раф, почему не срабатывают здесь вот эти три параметра? Группа, книга, Раф.
Why those three parameters, Rav, group, and books don't work here?
The group and the books and the study and what we receive from the teacher, it all works, and slowly it accumulates in a person, and then a person, and according to what he yearns, he can see he has or he doesn't have, either he wants understanding, mind, or attainment, or he wants qualities of bestowal, or to feel how much he understands more, and so on. It all depends on a person. Either he wants to receive his progress in vessels of reception, or he wants to receive his progress in vessels of bestowal. It's one of the two. And in this, we differentiate between the person who progresses correctly and a person who progresses incorrectly. But incorrect progress is also not so bad. If a person continues, slowly, slowly, it will subjugate him, change him.
When there are two discernments intermittently, it's not good. We have to be always...
No. It's okay. The main thing is to continue and not waste time. And that's called to be in a lesson on a constant basis, to be in the group, over the course of the day to work with the group, to prepare oneself for the lesson tomorrow, and in such to advance this way. It's very important to prepare yourself for the lesson that you receive, the topic of the lesson the next day, and what exactly we're going to learn. You need to read these things. You need to translate them, whoever needs to a different language. You need to maybe add all sorts of additions there, what you think will help you more to understand, to prepare questions, could be ahead of time. And all this is work on the topic, because we precisely advance according to the process we need to go through. And it's desirable that we will touch this process, be in contact with it. Most are in the process. There are those who are truly now going through this process of sensation of the exile and work in the exile and preparation for redemption. And then those who were not so bad. It will come. It will come. And that's called the work in exile. In exile, meaning in this, that they control you, the forces of separation, of confusion, and in such this way, you make the effort to straighten yourself towards adhesion with the friends and with the Creator together. And that's how it works. Next.
90. Rabash writes, when a person begins to advance in the work of the Creator and wants all his actions to be in order to bestow, he sees that he cannot prevail. At that time, one asks the Creator to help him. As our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. And the Holy Zohar asks, how is he aided? With the Holy Soul. Indeed, everything that they overcame in the work sank in the earth. As he says about their building of Pitom and Ramses. That is, each day they had to start their work anew, because everything they built went into the abyss. And they always saw themselves as though they had never begun to work, because they did not remember any word of Torah concerns work and always reflect on themselves. Where is our work? The efforts we put into the work? Where did it go?
This is
what we feel, that there are people who are already many years along the path. And where's the work? Where's the summary? And where's the result at all? What's happening with us? Why are we not feeling the desirable result? Revelation of the Creator, understanding of the path, something. Rather, everything begins anew each day, anew. And this is the intent, was intended to begin with, because we are incapable of working on a continued, continuous manner on the goal. And thus our progress towards the goal goes intentionally in such a manner that it's like back and forth, back and forth. But when it's forth, when it's back, it's not really backwards. It's like a wheel, right? That it's both going both forwards and backwards at the same time. But in sum total, it's the manner of its progress. Like also in an alternating current. All sorts of other technical things in our life also. Also, let's say day and night. This periodicity. Having different periods is also simply altogether what helping us advance, and so we need to be aided by patience to continue on the path. What are the questions here? Ita 4.
Buongiorno Rav, grazie. Rav, puoi darci un esempio di qual è una differenza di un'intenzione di
ricevere? Can you give us an example of the difference between the intention to receive in the work and the intention to give, to bestow? What is the difference, the essential difference relative to the goal?
In
relation to the goal, if I receive, then I'm using my vessels of reception. If I'm receiving on the intention to bestow, then I'm using my vessels of reception in the opposite manner than what they were built with to begin with, not on the intention to receive, but rather on the intention to bestow. If I don't want to receive anything in my vessels, then I am in restriction. If I participate with the foreign vessels, with the friends, that I join myself to their work, but I myself don't receive anything rather than just the support in them. There are a few types of work, both the vessels of vessels of bestowal and vessels of reception. These are the states we are in. Turkey too.
Good morning, dear Rav and friends. A question from our 10. How can we check ourselves whether we are in the sea of Sitra Ahra? And how can we get over it?
In
what state we are in? We need to see this, that in sum total, the state we're going through. Are we in connection with the friends? Are we turning to the Creator? And how do we think about today, yesterday, and tomorrow? In sum total, from all our relations to the state that we are in, we can determine where we are in Pitom and Ramses, Ramses, or in other works of Egypt, or we still maybe outside of Egypt and so on. It all depends on our examination, our scrutiny. Kiev 1.
Раф, вот в этой ситуации, когда постоянно наши усилия как бы куда-то растворяются в этих городах.
In a state when our efforts dissolve and go elsewhere, what is the solution to the state? What has to happen as a qualitative inversion?
It's
written about this, that the palate shall swallow and then throw it up. Meaning, that same sitra achra, the other side, meaning our ego, that day by day by day, receive the portions from the lesson, the lessons from our connections, from all sorts of our activities, that it receives, receives and receives, and hears and listens and listens. And it seems to us that nothing's changing. In our heart and mind, nothing is changing. But afterwards, that we reveal that it's like a sea in which everything is swallowed, the time comes that this matter is opened up, and thus it is written, the palate swallows. It's a force in oneself that swallows inwards and also throws up, meaning it gives back everything that was accumulated inside. And that's what we receive towards the exit of Egypt. That we build Pitom and Ramses. Ramses. It's like the seed that, right, that was swallowed. What was built, right, is like built like on sand that falls into the sand and disappears. And afterwards, it arises back from there in return. And we see that really we have built by our ego very nice cities, very beautiful cities. If it wasn't within our ego, the work, each time we would be in a tendency towards the goal, meaning the sitra achra here, it operates in a manner that it cheats itself, that we get up to the lesson, that we yearning for knowledge, for everything. All these things we perform by our ego, by the sitra achra. That's why it's called an assistance against oneself. And that's what the Creator says, that it's possible to begin the care, the correction, as it's written, I have created the evil inclination, that same evil inclination, the created beings, with it can advance to the goal of creation. Specifically, the evil inclination pushes them from the back and draws them from the front to that same goal of unity, connection, unity, with the Creator. And when that evil inclination completes the work, then the person reveals that in privilege of the evil inclination, he has reached the goal. And there is no evil inclination. It wasn't created to begin with. Rather, in order to confuse us, that we will be drawn to that same spiritual goal and be able to reach it. And that it will be...
Rav v'Rav Rim, comment parvenons-nous à une clarification commune dans la dizaine sur l'état dans lequel nous nous trouvons, Piton ou Ramsès? Toda.
How to reach the common scrutiny in the ten about the state we're in, Piton or Ramsès?
That still not. We still cannot make that scrutiny. Because each one is in their own private states, and we are not connected between us enough in order that we will cause together to one another a sense, the sense. We're still not connected enough in order to have this state. Ascent, descent, back, forth, that we will have as actions in our spiritual partsuf, that is incorporated, composed of 10 parts, changed, different and opposing, and when they rise above themselves, they reach connection and one action. We still don't have that. But I very much hope that we will do that. And that's already something. That's already outside Egypt. Next.
91 Rabash writes, it is even more difficult to understand how the klipa, the shell of Pharaoh, could swallow all their work to the point that they did not feel that they ever engaged in serving the Creator. That their goal was to achieve wholeness, and they knew what they wanted. Suddenly, they've come to a state where they forgot everything and no shemot remained in them from their work.
It's like we truly sometimes go from state to state and we remember nothing. Everything is erased.
All of this was deliberate. The Creator has prepared the klipa for this purpose so as to constantly keep them in a state of beginning. It is known that all beginnings are tough, so they will be forced to ask the Creator to help them. As said above, that he who comes to purify is aided. And as the Holy Zohar says, that each time they receive a holy soul, which is a force from above, meaning that each time they receive additions to the soul. And this accumulates into a great amount, as it is known that,
meaning that each time we are drawn to connection and we fall from it, and once again to some progress and once again we fall from it. But all these things, although despite that we begin to build something, it's built in sand, like these nice cities, Pitom and Ramses, that we don't succeed to build. But afterwards they arise from the sand and we see that, yes, we did build, we did do. But that we couldn't see our building, what we built, is in order that we will continue each time truly in new spiritual discernments from zero, from nothing. And in such, another cube, another brick, that's how we built. Questions? None? Okay, nice. Next.
92, Rabash writes, although each illumination received from above, the parts for the time being, in the end, when he completes the amount of labor that one must do, as in everything that is in the might of your hand to do, that to do, he receives at once everything he had received one at a time. He thought that it all went to the klipot, but then he receives everything back.
Yes, meaning here we see that the shells, there's no shells, no klipot, meaning those same things that we're incapable of doing in force in our heart and mind because we are small, they are accumulated in nature and are kept there, and later we receive the result from them and can use them. And last, 93
Rabash writes, as our sages said, Pitom and Oam says, Rav and Shmuel once said her name was Pitom. And why was her name Ramses? For his head splinters first, mitroses. Rashi interprets, when they built some, it would splinter and fall. And they would rebuild it, and it would fall. And one said, her name is Ramses. And why was her name Pitom? It is because first is first, it was swallowed by the mouth of the abyss, Pitom. We therefore see that there is no dispute between Rav and Shmuel regarding the facts, only regarding the interpretation. The fact was that everything they built would fall. This means that every time they built for themselves some structure in the work, the Egyptians came, meaning the alien thoughts of the Egyptians, and ruined all their work. In other words, all the work that they did with all their efforts to overcome and to serve in the work of holiness was swallowed in the ground. Thus, each day, they had to start over. I wanted to ask, what are those cities of affliction for us?
Cities of affliction are also for all those who are going towards the correction of the soul. It's called that they're receiving all sorts of sensations, thoughts that they pass on over him. They pass on him, and he makes the effort to connect them to the goal, to the Creator, to the friends. And he sees that nothing's working, and he's in these states already. In these attacks, he's pushes forward already a few years, and he doesn't see any sign of success. And this is the difficult labor in Egypt, in exile, that everything's built in the sand. And despite that, he sees that there's no success, but he doesn't leave. He continues. Although that sometimes truly doesn't see in himself any forces for it or any mood, or it seems that maybe this is not going to work out, this whole business, and why waste time? On the other hand, what's it going to do with the rest of the world? But what can you do? There's only this work, and by such calculations, more spiritual, less spiritual, the person advances nonetheless. And when he reaches some certain state, then he begins to see that everything that he did, it all comes back to him in understanding, sensation, revelation. He begins to understand and feel that he was truly in exile from spirituality. And afterwards, meaning now, when each bit by bit accumulates to a large sum, he now sees the summary. And that's called that the palate swallows, the klipa, the shell swallowed it. The will to receive of a person that was always thinking about where's my benefit, when will I get it, it was swallowed there, and now it will return. The klipa, the shell, throws it back up, and a person can receive it and already build upon it his spiritual structure.
If I may continue, what is the goal of building and then it gets destroyed? And in the end they give us everything. What's the idea?
We have no vessels to accumulate, to store, to build. In our vessels of reception, spiritual thing. If we would see in our spiritual vessel, in our vessels of reception, that we are building spirituality, then it wouldn't be spirituality, it would truly be a shell. Because we would work in order to build. To build for our corporeal egoistic benefit. But thus it's all swallowed. And if we continue each time anew that we want nonetheless to reach some form of bestowal, then slowly, slowly these things accumulate, bit by bit accumulates to a large sum, and we receive the result already in a correct manner, spiritual manner. It accumulates to a large sum.
And what changes about our kli? Today we have a vessel of reception, so we can't receive. What will happen suddenly so we can receive?
That you are in sorrow on these vessels, that you cannot make with them actions of bestowal. And yet, each time that you go back on seemingly on what you didn't succeed in the previous time, and you go back over it, and you continue, and you each time again come to the lesson, and again reach despair, and you continue more and more, then these things are called bits. And on these bits, you're willing to concede, to let go. Like, okay, I didn't succeed yesterday. Not so bad. I concede on that. And you come today. What happened today that you came today and yesterday you didn't consider it anymore? That's called that it enters on the intention to bestow. That you have seemingly no more what to receive on the intention to receive. You didn't succeed. You see that you didn't succeed. So, okay. It went, and you continue. But it didn't just go. Specifically, that the sieve, the sita racha, the shell, it keeps it, that it was all on the intention to receive that you had. But this that you despaired from it, that you didn't want from all sorts of reasons, and you continue more like a baby that despite that it does a work out for him and again, and thus we grow, and thus we receive in return. And that's the whole matter of the palate swallowed and then throws it up. And also, Pitom and Ram says, the essence of these cities, that a person builds out of despair on yesterday, and out of hope for today and tomorrow.
So, last question. What keeps a person on the path in this development? So, in spite of everything getting ruined, when you still have no vessel, how do you give hope for attaining the true vessel?
The root of the soul, and as much as he understands that he has no more what to do in life, and nonetheless goes in faith above reason. There's no choice. How do you all hold on? Explain to me. Thousands are on the path. So how do you hold on? The Creator also helps us in this, that he doesn't give us big things to draw us out, each and every one. He gives in our external life even more disappointments and problems. And in this, he helps us. It's written on this. It's participating in the lesson, the preparation for the lesson.
Yeah, there's nothing to talk here, no doubt.
So I want to ask specifically about the bits we have to accumulate each day, or over the course of each day. As you said yesterday, even don't meet twice a day, half an hour, but spread it out so that all day will be in connection, preparation for the lesson.
Yeah, this is more beneficial. It's better than meeting once a day for 30 minutes. To divide this 30 minutes even into 30 one-minute meetings. Well, maybe that's exaggerated, but 5-6 meetings.
So what's the work that needs to be done over the course of the day?
Other than those points, those meetings?
Maybe we begin with these short meetings. We read what happens. We read some part of the lesson.
We remind ourselves, how do we live? The most important points from the lesson. Today's lesson, and if we have time, tomorrow's lesson.
Okay, question like this. There's now a world prayer connection in the tent, and I can't participate right now because I'm working, I'm at work, busy. What can I do if I can't participate?
I don't know what to propose. Maybe you can record it and listen to it later, but it's best to be impressed by it because you're incorporated with others. It doesn't matter what you're hearing. It's important that you're hearing it through the friends. It's more beneficial. It works in you. It works in you more.
Question is more that if there's nothing I can do, like I'm at work now, and I know the entire world clear, meeting together, some meeting, reading together, and I cannot be with them right now, physically, virtually. Well, what do I need to think? Think that I'm with them in the prayer?
Yeah, think that you want to be with them, but you are... But you are under the control of your landlord or your boss, and your boss bought your time, and you have to work at that time according to the direction of your boss. That's also accepted in the general providence.
Good morning. If our work nonetheless falls to the klipot, the shells, how do I know I'm doing correct work?
You don't need to know. You will never know if you're doing the right work or not, because you need to be 100% in order to bestow. So every time you do this work, even to bestow, you will feel that you did not do enough, and that next time you will do better. You wish to build everything on your will to receive, on your knowledge, your reason, your intellect, your own power. That's completely not spiritual.
So what indication do we have? I'm talking, let's say, me personally. How do I know I'm going the right way?
As much as you can be devoted and nothing else, only in devotion. I have no feeling, no intellect, I have no understanding, no sensation, I have no power, I have nothing. I have only one thing. I want to be adhered to the Creator with all my strength, all my thoughts, all my desires, and that's how I wish to advance. Without I, rather, according to how
German 8, they ask, you said that the Creator checks and he beats those that he likes. So how does he relate to those he doesn't?
He loves, especially loves those who come close to him, and he hands them out more blows so they would advance correctly.
Mark 29
continued that question. Why does this happen? Why does the Creator need our suffering?
Without suffering, we cannot disconnect from our will to receive, from our ego.
No.
Moscow 18.
the sensation that Pharaoh takes everything, it's very good, because each time there's an opportunity to build something anew. Is it correct to be enjoyed that all the efforts are swallowed in the ground?
We're not so smart to say if it's swallowed or not swallowed. We have to try and perform as many acts of connection and bestowal, and whatever happens, happens. If nothing is left, then nothing is left. We continue. Each day, we start anew.
Last question, Latin 20. I do different things. I participate in our tense meetings and actions of dissemination. But I feel that I'm doing nothing for correction and also not for giving contentment to the Creator. Is that a thought of Pharaoh?
Nope. Those are also good, correct thoughts. You have to keep going. All in all, women are advancing generally good, but just not enough. Meaning correctly, but not enough, not sufficient. There's more opportunities to apply more pressure with their thoughts, with their intentions between them and to the Creator. Each one is treating the other with gloves. We have to have more common demand. And this common demand is made up of an example of herself, and a demand through the 10 for everyone. I'm not saying to someone that they have to do something, but I turn to the 10 generally. Let us do this or that. Meaning we have to awaken the group all the time. Thank you, women, and we'll go back to men.
Ramses e Piton che crollano esprimono questo stato di fallimento, uno stato di deserto. Io mi sento.
Piton and Ramses, when they fall, does that a sign of failing, of desert? I feel myself useless for myself and for others. So how can I work in such a state of emptiness and feel so useless?
We need to hasten times. It's written, who is Israel? Those who sanctify the time. Meaning, as quickly as possible, they rise from every state and they keep going. And it all depends on how much we can hold one another, awaken one another. So please, do this work where each time during the day you awaken the friends and you demand of yourself progress towards connection between us and with the Creator, connection between us and to the Creator. Only these two actions, connect between us and to the Creator. So try to do it as many times during the day, remind one another, and let's go.
Those two actions, connection between us and towards the Creator that we always hear, it's felt as if it becomes one action, that the connection between us is also the plea to the Creator.
No, we still have to turn to Him as well. Otherwise your connection will be even worse than lack of connection. It's like felons, like a city of criminals. It has to be directed toward the Creator, and ideally, initially, from the very beginning, we want to connect to the Creator, And this is why we connect among ourselves.
But that's what I'm saying, that I can't really understand maybe the need to discern between those actions, between connection and the plea. Because the connection is the plea to the Creator.
No, it's not the same thing, Amit.
So can you explain it?
The work of connection. Let's say you have felons, mafia. They have great connection among themselves. They even cut their fingers as a mark of loyalty. For their connection.
That's clear. I'm asking about us. Let's say we're in some meeting during the day.
Yes.
Let's say what you're also inspired from the world Kli, that we have a prayer twice in the day. That's a plea to the Creator.
It's not turning to the Creator.
So what is it?
It's still an attempt to connect.
Okay, because we define it as the world Kli prayer, that everybody opens their heart and asks the Creator.
If out of your connection you also turn to the Creator and pray to the Creator, then it's correct. But the two are distinct actions. It's called from the love of people to the love of the Creator. Okay, right?
Maybe to continue, Amit, something yesterday also grabbed me, that you gave advice yesterday that we have to start every day anew, that everything falls into the abyss and you have to keep going.
Yes, and they will be as new in your eyes.
So that new, I heard you say, don't do it with your own forces, it's a waste of time, but right away turn to the Creator.
Starting anew, it's the best to adhere to the group and from there turn to the Creator.
So how do you start anew? After I discover that everything fell into the sand and I have nothing?
So I'm repeating myself. For lack of strength, for lack of for hopelessness, just turn to the group. Take strength from their mutual responsibility and from this start building your independence and then help become incorporated in them with your strength and proceed, keep going.
What's that action to fall in the group?
You fall because you are powerless, you're helpless, like a baby.
We know that to extract forces from the group, we need to make efforts, we need to see them as great, we need to annul ourselves, otherwise I could be beside them and not feel.
But you're already in that state after you fell, at least to some extent.
Why after the fall the heart is clogged, the mind is...
Good. And now try to build from this the greatness of the environment, because you are in zero.
So where is the Creator in this action?
You don't have a Creator. You're in decline, you're in the fall.
So what about ascribing the state to him?
What do you think? You think you can go like, pick, and that's it? I'm in contact with the Creator, and he's in my field of vision. How can that be?
So what's the order of the work?
The order of the work is to first of all define to yourself what exactly is a descent, a fall. When you have no Creator, you have nothing. So what can you do? You can only assemble, gather your broken pieces and maybe gradually connect them to the group. That's where you start. When you come to some connection with the ten, from that, you will begin to rise to the... This is the most correct thing to do.
And how does he do it? What's his action to incorporate with him?
Whatever they do, he will do the same, just like a baby with grown-ups.
But it's the middle of the day. Each one is in his own thing. They're probably doing something there.
If he's got time, he should listen to the morning lesson.
And how does, through the morning lesson, does he incorporate in the group?
it will give him strength. It will awaken him. We need to start somewhere. I don't understand you. So what do you do when you have free time? When you're driving or when you do something and your mind and ears are free, available?
When does the Creator enter the work? When he starts incorporating in the group?
The Creator enters when you give him permission to enter.
And it's not in the beginning.
Whenever you give him permission to enter.
Tov.
Okay.
I see. You're happy. I will give him permission and he will enter. Okay. Friends. We've got Asia.
So we shouldn't get too complicated with these things. I want adhesion with the Creator, and if I don't feel it, to go back to the tent. That's the best solution, right?
Being in the tent is always the best solution. Always. Even falling, it doesn't matter in what state. But if it's together with the tent, it is better than being alone on top. Because I dwell among my own people. The Creator is present in the ten, always.
So only the ten. There's no state that I cannot turn to the Creator, only through the ten.
You finally hear something. We've been talking about it for many years.
Hello, we're reading from the writings of Bala Sulam, the article, The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose. The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose. In this article, I would like to resolve three issues. One, what is the essence of religion? Two, is its purpose intended for this world or for the next world? Three, is its purpose to benefit the Creator or the created beings? At first glance, the reader might be surprised by my words and not understand these three questions that I have set before me as the topic of this essay. One, for who does not know what is religion? Two, and especially its reward and punishment, which we hope to obtain primarily in the next world. And needless to say, regarding the third question, that everyone knows that it is for the benefit of the created beings to guide them to delight and happiness, and what else need we add to this? Indeed, I have nothing more to add. But because they are so familiar with these three concepts from infancy, they do not add or further examine them for the rest of their lives. And this shows their lack of knowledge about these exalted matters, which are necessarily the very foundation upon which the whole structure of religion lies. Therefore, you tell me, how is it possible that a child of 12 or 13 years of age can already thoroughly grasp these three subtle notions, and so sufficiently that he will not need to add any further learning for the rest of his life? Indeed, here lies the problem. For this rash conjecture brought with it all the recklessness and the wild conclusions that we have come into our world in our generation, and has brought us to a state where the second generation has almost completely slipped from under our hands.
So what is he trying to tell us? First of all, three questions. What is the essence of religion? Is its purpose intended for this world, or does it open and exist in the next world? And is it to benefit the creator or the created beings? Because we seemingly know how to somehow answer these questions, we don't examine them and scrutinize them, and therefore remain in the same lack of knowledge that exists in us from the very beginning. And we have no connection, therefore, with religion, because religion simply lets a person understand why he exists, with what force does he exist, what is the main thing that he should have in this life, meaning in this world, what he should achieve as a result of this life. All those things he should get clear answers to, so they will direct him to correct life. And as we see, this doesn't happen at all. On the contrary, instead of studying these things, we come into something called religions, faiths, religion, which completely block our approach to life and tell us, you need to do this and that, and everything will be okay. And you have nothing more to do in this life. This is religion. And therefore, this is why we all remain blocked. And as we are born, little animals, we also end our lives.
Grazie, Rav. Perché i cabalisti ci dicono che non c'è differenza per lavorare a beneficio?
Why do Kabbalists say that there's no difference between one who works for the created beings or for the creator? Why is it the same?
Because if a person emerges, comes out of his ego and works with what is outside of him, then outside of a person's ego, there's only the creator. Except to a person, it appears like many people or even souls afterwards. And the creator is like the inclusive, the thing that includes them all. So in order to come to the concept of the creator, the most correct and safest way is to work with people.
All
right. So if there are no questions, we will continue. But afterwards, go over these parts during the day. And if there are questions, and many questions, we will repeat them tomorrow as well. Questions? Give one.
Yes, dear love. When there's such a desire to harm in a directed manner, so you can cover it with love. Yes, later we'll have to reach love in order to complete all the hatred and correct what was there before. That's called love will cover all crimes.
Covering, this is called love will cover all crimes. Covering isn't only hiding, it's to completely correct.
The question is, in relation to our work, practically, when we can build love or some kind of connection, so if there's a desire to harm, it's only possible from a neutral state. But if there's a desire to harm, to destroy, so how can you even work with it?
So we enter an environment that explains to us that our ego is a destructive force that doesn't let us come to good, sublime achievements in our lives, and then we begin to acquire toward our ego some sort of a negative approach, relation. And we also begin to understand that we can't handle our ego, it's so strong and so superior to us. And therefore, we can correct it and deal with it only on condition that we connect among ourselves. And in the connection among ourselves, we bring in a higher force that will deal with our ego. And if we can somehow annul ourselves, each one making concessions to the group, then we get the higher force that can treat each and every one with the common force between us to correct us and connect us. And in this way, we achieve correction.
Скажите, Раф, ну тут вот как бы
проблема или нюанс
такой вот, с которым непонятно.
The problem or the little nuances. It's not clear.
Это, ну, происходит, может быть, не на таком там уровне, прям с автоматом.
That it takes place maybe, well, not with weapons, but even between our friends.
Понятно, что там где-то на улице это одно, а тут вот как бы.
It's clear that on the street there it's one thing, and here for us it's you're studying with the enemy, the same Rav. And then in our meetings, how to work with it.
Love will cover all the crimes. This is our uppermost law. Inside Nebuch, it can't be otherwise. That's it. Love will cover all crimes. Period.
Moscow 1.
Да, Рав, спасибо. Вот сценаристы, вводя фильм какой-то под happy end,
screenwriters, when they bring the movie to a happy ending, they also have to start from horrible scrutinies between them. Can we get along without all these scripts, all the states we're going through, to bring a happy ending on our own? Otherwise it won't come.
We don't need to build bad things, bad relationships. We should try to rise above our nature, and above our nature, build a connection. And a connection that is internal, as internal as possible, to the point of love. This is our work. We don't need anything terrible to discover. We need to reveal only good things, but when you want to reveal those good things, you naturally reveal all the bad things that are hidden there. This is how we have to be corrected and advance.
Барур.
Clear? That's his relation from him onward to the people should be only this way, because necessarily,
for in this world there are beings that necessarily experience either a good feeling or a bad one. And that feeling necessarily comes to them from the Creator. Once it becomes absolutely clear that there is no aim to harm the nature of the Creator, it is necessitates that the creatures receive only benefits from Him. For He has created them only to bestow upon them. Thus we learn that He has only a desire to bestow goodness. And it is utterly impossible that any harmfulness might be in His domain which could emit from Him. Hence, we have defined him as the absolute good. And once we have learned this, let us look at the actual reality that is guided by him and how he bestows only goodness upon them.
Yes, in other words, he is preparing us from seeing to see the world as what it means. History is a representation of man's relation, the corporeal man, man's relation to the innermost spiritual point. He disrespects it. He has contempt for it. He repels it. And this is how it is among the nations too. The more this point is precious and wise and connected to the upper force, it is still slighted and disrespected and degraded. You can't help it. This is history. From this, you will also be
прям хороший такой вопрос задал. Я хотел спросить вот по то, что здесь Бальсулам пишет про вот этот вот плод, да, который развивается и растет.
According to what Bal-Sulam writes here about the fruit that's developing and grows, you said that if you want to rise above the differences, you have to become a Jew, Israel. So, is this what everyone is expected to be? Is that
internally? Yes, internally, everyone must come to a state where love covers all the crimes and there will be no differences between people. And even though, as they write, and Kabbalists write too, anyone can remain in his religion, in his faith, in whatever he wants, but the law of love must be above everything and cover everyone. That's it. Therefore, that's why I'm so against wars, because by this we only destroy ourselves. And now we will see it in practice.
When missiles dropped on Israel, there was a question to you how you see the solution to this conflict. You said in a very clear way, a fence, that a border that differentiates, and all of Israel study the wisdom of Kabbalah. And now, what do you recommend to our friends?
I would say the same thing.
That
we need to put boundaries until the nations learn how to relate to one another nicely, like two neighbors, and not with one invading the other, trespassing the other. How can one get into the other's domain and make his own order, burn their crops, break down their buildings? Look what they're doing. With women, with children. We need to stop this. How can it be that one country allows itself to do this to another country? It is certainly, it looks terrible. Terrible. They are doing huge corruptions in spirituality. This is why we need to talk only about connection and love. Connection and love. So let's try to do this. Okay. Kiev 3.
Доброе утро, учитель. Good morning, teacher. Question. Now, with all, we're sitting in the bomb shelters, and we feel ourselves only safe in the connections and the lessons, and with the world clean, because outside, all that hatred that exists. Why does it turn out that after such questions, there's a feeling of separation, not only externally, not just the screaming about what's going on outside, but also what's happening internally? What is that all for in relating to this prayer that
we have to pray to the Creator to give us the strength to be connected on top of all the crimes? Even though we don't understand each other, even though we cannot get along between us, we want to nevertheless be above all the misunderstandings and be connected in the one Creator. He who makes peace in his heaven makes peace upon us. Why? Because we are always in arguments, in beating up, in all kinds of opposite operations. So we want the Creator to make peace upon us, to bring peace upon us. That's it. And will bring down upon us what is called a canon.